Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremfya, guselkumab, can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremfya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremfya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremfya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit TremfyaRadio.com.
I honestly think Pep needs to change a little bit of tact. You haven't got Rodri, you have to stop playing through the middle as much because teams are pressing you to death and they're giving up way too many chances.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on the Sunday game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18+ gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
So it finished Slovenia 4, Republic of Ireland 0 in the Women's Nations League this evening in Slovenia. It is Ireland's heaviest defeat in 8 years. And former Ireland player and manager Sue Ronan is with us on the line. Evening, Sue. How are you doing? General thoughts on that game? I presume the outlook from your perspective isn't overly positive.
No, it was a tough night at the office. It was a hard one to watch, a hard one to swallow, I'm sure, for players and management. It was the first half to remember, to forget. The players never got going. The passing was poor, the decision-making was poor, their touch was poor, their defensive shape was poor. It was just one of those. It was really a very, very poor first half, and that set us up for the defeat. And while we played better in the second half, we just had too big a mountain to climb.
It did feel that there was a pile of individual underperformances within a system that the players weren't overly familiar with as well. So one thing compounded another, it felt, in that first 45.
Yeah, I mean, the manager is trying to introduce a new system. We can talk about systems all night. It's a 4-3-3, and many of these players will either be playing a 4-3-3 at their clubs or have played a 4-3-3 before. So I think the problems in the first half were not specifically down to the system. I think they were more down to individual errors and, mistakes that players were making and, mistakes that they wouldn't ordinarily make and shouldn't be making at this level. Of course, I think you can certainly say the team selection compounded some of the issues that we had with players staying out of position to try and fit into that system, which really didn't help. I think that's something the manager's going to have to look at going forward if she wants to continue playing the system she wants.
The biggest call was playing Katie McCabe in the number 10, which doesn't appear to have gone down overly well when we're listening to and looking at the brief pieces of analysis that are already coming through.
Yeah, no, it didn't. I'm not sure where she was going to start. I know there was a late withdrawal of Megan Campbell. Megan Campbell was in the team right up until kickoff, actually, and Megan Connolly then just appeared. So whether Campbell was playing left back and McCabe was still going to be further forward, or whether Campbell was playing centre half again and McCabe at left back, we're not sure. But Carla has said in her interviews all week that she does want to get Katie McCabe further forward and she wants to get her to affect the game in higher positions, but it just didn't work. And when we don't have a natural left-sided or left-footed player that can defend in those positions, I mean, it was probably silly to put her there. If Campbell, as I said, was fit, maybe she was going to play in that position. But putting Aoife Mannion, moving her from right back, where she played very well, to left back, playing Heather Payne, who, okay, has played right back before, but, I think we're really putting Heather Payne into a position that she's just not comfortable in. She's not a defender. She never has been a defender. She started her career as an attack, wide player. I think she probably played centre forward under Vera Pell. So I think it's unfair to her to be putting her as a right back at international level because she's just not a natural defender. There was a culmination of things, I guess, that had a knock-on effect. But yeah, we'd like to see Katie further forward, but maybe the realisation is that for Ireland she's better served than left back.
It's really interesting though what you've just said, Sue, because you feel sorry for Heather Payne given what you've just said, and the third goal in particular, she had not her greatest moment, I think it's fair to say, and she'd probably be the first person to say that. I think to be fair to Aoife Mannion, she did okay, especially on the ball in that first half. But you're talking about two players out of position in two very important positions. So we're robbing Peter to pay Paul in some respects. But really, is there not another solution there if Katie McCabe is not going to be available at left back? Surely there's an actual left back available somewhere, no?
I think it's, well, there's Campbell. A couple that are not in the squad. Like you've Chloe Mustaki, I'm not sure what her situation is. Yeah. She's playing okay with Bristol City. So, excuse me, why she's not in the squad, whether she's not fit or not, I'm not sure. But yeah, surely there are some options there. But it seems to be like the last couple of management team, well, certainly under Eileen, she played three at the back a lot of the time, or five then with the wing backs, because we didn't have natural full backs. And I think we really are being unfair to Heather Payne, and it's not the first time I've said it. And you know, we've seen her cut out in other matches as well in those positions, and it's just not her natural position. I think she would just give us so much more going forward, you know. And putting a player like that in a right, you know, it's not the answer. And then the knock-on effect then, because we're not playing her wide on the right, we move Caruso out to the right, wide right area, and when she's better down the centre. So I think for me, it was just a culmination of, you know, bad performance in the first half by most of the team, probably apart from Denise O'Sullivan, but then players playing out of position and then maybe unsure of what they're supposed to do in the system they're being asked to play in.
And that is the knock-on impact here, Sue, because I would imagine it'll take a few more windows for the likes of Denise O'Sullivan and Rucha Littlejohn or whoever is going to be in that midfield to get used to the fact that your midfield now contains Katie McCabe. That is a hugely different departure compared to the last camp and the last manager. So from their perspective, the other midfielders, if they're going to try this Katie McCabe thing, it's going to have a big knock-on impact for what they want to do as well.
Absolutely, and you could see it then. Rucha Littlejohn was left isolated in that first half. You know, she was playing as a one holder, and you had the two tens ahead of her in Denise and Katie, and they're both very attack minded. And Katie, given that license, she's going to be even more attack minded. Denise tends to sort of go up and down the midfield a lot, switches between a sort of a six and an eight position. But you know, I think Rucha was left really isolated, and I heard the Slovenian manager being interviewed there after the game, and he said they specifically targeted our centre half and our holding midfielder building up, and you could see that. And every time Rucha got the ball, she was surrounded by players, and they were trying to cut out that pass to her, or you know, press her really hard. And that's where we lost so much ball, and that's where they counterattacked from very, very quickly, and that's where the goals came from in the first half. And we were just very lucky that they didn't score more.
There's obviously been a whole raft of retirements over the last number of months, Sue. To what degree does that have an impact on what we're seeing in terms of these last two performances?
I think it certainly has an impact in the terms of the leadership that's gone out of the group. You have a huge number of experienced or highly capped players there. You have Niamh Fahey, you have Diane Caldwell, you have Julianne Russell, although I know she's only back in a couple of years, but she's been around the national team like for the last 15, 17 years. And the experience that those girls bring and the leadership they bring, I think that's sort of, it's evidence that that's sort of missing now. You have other players that are not there. You know, Louise Quinn is injured. Other players that potentially could step up into those positions. So I think that's another gap that unfortunately is there at the moment, and the Carl is going to have to find a way of filling, because you know the team looked rudderless in the first half. They didn't look like anyone was steering them, could lead them. You know, we conceded a goal. We were sixth and seventh. We got ourselves back into it a little bit. We conceded a second one by doing the exact same thing. And nobody sort of said, put our foot on the ball here. Let's ride this out till half time. Go in at 2-0 down and we have a chance. But once the 3-0, you know, the third goal went in, it was game over.
A question I have, and feel free to shoot this down completely, but obviously the build up to these two games contained this massive sideshow of the Colin Healy situation, whereby you've got a lot of the players being asked about it and a lot of the players have felt very, very strongly about this, and you can completely sympathise with their point of view on this. And they will say that they're delighted with the new management ticket and there's nothing against the current coaches and that it's just support for what's right is what they'll say, and that's fair enough. But I wonder subconsciously, Sue, just on a subconscious level, might this have fed into the performances over the last two games, where obviously they're not deliberately not trying 100% for the new management ticket or anything like that, but just that niggling thing that might have been in the back of their minds but without even realising it could have held back their performances here a touch?
potentially. I mean, the players are only human beings at the end of the day. They're people. You know, they're people that have emotions. They were all close to Colin. So potentially, you know, it did subconsciously have an effect. Yes, I know one or two of them were asked and they said, no, you know, that didn't have an effect after the game on Friday. But it would be only human nature if it did have an effect, you know, and it's a shame, I suppose, that there was these other noises going on outside that detracted from, firstly, Carter's appointment, and secondly, I guess, you know, from the games, the two games in the last week, and it took up a lot of the questioning, I guess, at the press conference. So potentially it did seep into their psyche a little bit and put them off a little bit.
Your conclusion from today, Sue, is it stick with 4-3-3? And stick with Katie McCabe in midfield, or where are you sitting on all of that?
Well, I think unless we get natural fullbacks, and particularly a left fullback, we will have to stick with Katie McCabe at left fullback. If we had someone to fill that position, I'd be saying get her higher up the pitch. I think we have to find fullbacks from somewhere. We have to find a natural.
Are your ulcerative colitis symptoms proving difficult to manage? Tremvaya guselkumab can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. At 1 year, many patients taking Tremvaya achieved clinical remission, and some patients also achieved endoscopic remission. Individual results may vary. Tremvaya is a prescription medicine used to treat adults with moderately to severely active ulcerative colitis. Serious allergic reactions and increased risk of infections may occur. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and TB. Tell your doctor if you have an infection, flu-like symptoms, or if you need a vaccine. Ask your doctor if Tremvaya can help you manage the cycle of UC symptoms. Call 1-800-526-7736 to learn more or visit tremvayaradio.com.
Right back, if we're going to play Aoife Mannion at left back, or if we're going to play her centre half. And, you know, I think this probably goes back to then a bigger picture, which I've been harping on for years. There needs to be greater connections with the underage squads and the national team and closer management of those players. And once they leave the under-19s, you know, and I know it started now last week with the game in Abbottstown, the development squad. But so many players, good players, have gone through our underage squads in the last number of years. Players, when they were 16, 17, you thought they were going to be the next Denise O'Sullivan. And they haven't developed, they haven't come through because the time hasn't been right to give them game time with the national team. They haven't had that experience. They haven't gone to big clubs, maybe, you know, to train as a professional. They're just not getting that look in. So we need to now start to deliberately targeting and better developing our underage players and our underage squads, you know, and those players once they go over 19, because that's where we're getting our national team players from. And we need to start putting structures in place. Wouldn't that be a development squad that gets together every so often, whether it's another 21 squad, another 23 squad, whatever it might be. I think that's an area that we really need to focus on, because that's the only way Carla can play the system she has, because at the moment she doesn't have the players to play it, in my view.
And is it a case that there's just not enough collective sessions of those players, a rung below the standard of the senior women's national team? Or what's actually going on here? Why has there been a bit of a broken link?
Well, when I say a broken link, like there's been so many good players, and there are, you know, so many good players on the underage squads, and maybe they haven't got the chances over the years. Like you look at Abby Larkin, Jess Stapleton, for example, two players that are currently in the squad. Okay, they've broken into the team, they've gotten a few games here and there, but Abby Larkin was up with the national team squad when she was 17, 18. She was in with the national team, but she sat on the bench for about a year. So she wasn't playing international football when she could have been with the 19s or with the 17s getting that vital experience and exposure to international football. So from that point of view, there needs to be discussions. Of course, if she's good enough to be on the national team, bring her up. But if she's not going to be used and she's not going to be in the match day squad, what's the point in having her in the stand? Wouldn't she be better served going back to Dave Connell or whoever, whether it's the under-17 coach at the time, and going back and playing with those teams? So they're just the discussions, and they're the connections that need to be better going forward, you know, because I'm not sure they have been over the last 4 or 5 years.
I heard Stephanie Zamber saying it on TV earlier on that we're struggling with the amount of fullbacks that are available to us at the moment. I don't want to say that we're struggling to produce fullbacks, because maybe that's the question I want to put to you, Sue. Is there a sort of the opposite of the men's situation, where in terms of women's football in this country, there is a dearth of fullbacks being produced? Because in the men's game, it's our strongest position in terms of depth, in terms of quality, and it just feels unusual and a little bit jarring to hear Stephanie say that.
Yeah, there has been there is a lack of depth there in that position at the level we need. But I go back, you know, to our underage squads, and 5-6 years ago, there were some fantastic talented players on the 16s, 17s, 19s. I'm not sure where they are now because they haven't come through to the national team. But they've, you know, there's always going to be a natural fall off of players. They don't develop to the level you think they will be. They might give up or get injured, whatever it might be. But, you know, that can't have happened to them all. So where are those players? Can we look at deliberately developing them, put some structures in place to give them the attention they need and the hope that they can be as good as we want them to be? You know, like if that is the system that the manager wants to play. Otherwise, if she doesn't have those fullbacks and they don't seem to be there at the moment, you're putting round pegs into square holes or vice versa. Even in my day, I had to play Áine O'Gorman at right back, and Áine was a centre forward with her club at the time because of the lack of fullbacks. But you know, there's more players out there now. The league is better. The clubs are better. So you know, I think there just needs to be discussions and come up with a plan together.
When it comes to some other bits and pieces around the setup at the moment, it's going to be really interesting where Eileen Gleeson lands in all of this, Sue. We don't know for sure what's going to happen, what she wants, what the FAI wants, and where she will end up. What do you think is the best thing and the best outcome for a resource like Eileen Gleeson in Irish football?
It's not really for me to say. You know, Eileen's been involved in football a long time. She's come from a different side of business. As such, when she went full time into football, she was involved in football in an amateur capacity for a long, long time. But then when she went full time into the FAI, she gave up her other role, from what I gather. So what she's doing now, I've no idea. If she's still on the payroll, she should be utilised. You know, she has a lot of experience. She has a lot of knowledge of the game, both here and abroad. It'd be a shame that if she's on the payroll in the FAI, not being utilised in some capacity. Does she want to continue on in some capacity? I don't know. You know, we'd have to ask Eileen that. But there is a head of women's football there, you know, and there's other staffing in there, I think, as well for women's football. So they're the people that need to be coming up with the ideas and coming up with the plans and coming up with the strategies and building the pathways in the leagues to make sure we can strengthen it and strengthen the competition for our players, and particularly with a focus on those young players because they're the future. You know, and I know Rusha Littlejohn spoke very emotionally after we lost in Lansdowne Road there against Wales, and she mentioned exactly as it is. You know, we need to be looking at our younger players. We need to be getting them training more often, whether that's in emerging talent camps, whether that's strengthening the clubs and the leagues. It's probably a bit of both. But I mean, I think quite recently the emerging talent program was cut, the girls' emerging talent program. The boys might have been as well. But I think it's even more important on the girls' side that there's something for our best players. But these are things that need to be done. You know, those players need good contact time. We need to have the best playing with the best, training with the best all the time. From a young age, they need to be practicing their technique, their passing, and that's what the likes of Slovenia and all those small nations have been doing. I've seen it myself in the last 10, 15 years, and now they're seeing that's bearing fruit for them with their national team players also comfortable on the ball and now tactically better prepared because their coach and that is properly educated. So those countries are getting better all the time. And if we don't start developing and looking after our youth structures better, you know, they'll pass us out.
That's a really interesting point. And it was stark to see it in the first half tonight, really, the performance of the Slovenian players. And I guess as Irish people, we might have been a little bit dismissive of countries who maybe hadn't got their women's programme in proper order over the last number of years. And even still, when you watch the game today, you can see that there just isn't the attendance numbers in Slovenia as there would be here in Ireland for these sorts of games. But in terms of the quality, they are catching up. And immediately, within the space of two campaigns, the standard in League B seems to have gone way up. And maybe Ireland haven't progressed at that same rate.
Yeah, no, absolutely. You can see it in these countries, like they're all improving. You know, we played Slovenia when I was the coach in 2013. They were in our qualifying group, and at that point we were really weary of them. And when we went away, we put in one of the best performances. Actually, I still love looking back at that game. One of the best performances under my tenure, and we won the game well, but we really had to play very well against them. But even then, you could see they were improving. And since that, I've seen the structures that the likes of these countries are putting in. They're putting academies in. They're putting elite youth programs in. You know, they're pumping the money and the resources into their youth and into their pathways. They're having proper structures around national leagues. They're having promotion relegation. You know, they're not trying to have too many teams just for the sake of having a 10, 12 team league. It's about quality over quantity. You know, and it's something else we could look at ourselves, I think.
Sue Ronan, fascinating stuff. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Talk to you soon.
Cheers. That's former Ireland player, former Ireland manager Sue Ronan on the line. It is scoreless between Crystal Palace and Aston Villa. It's 1-0 to Brighton at home to Bournemouth, and it's 1-0 to Fulham at Wolves. Chelsea versus Southampton kicks off at 8:15. We'll be back in just a minute.
Football on Off the Ball.
With William Hill. You can boost your winnings on every game with new Bet Builder Extra. Only with William Hill. Download the app today. 18 plus gamblingcare.ie.
This is News Talk.
I won't let my moderate to severe plaque psoriasis symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. In two clinical studies, Tremfya guselkumab, taken by injection, provided 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks in 7 out of 10 adults with moderate to severe plaque psoriasis. In a study, nearly 7 out of 10 patients with 90% clearer skin at 16 weeks were still clearer at 5 years. At 1 year and thereafter, patients and healthcare providers knew that Tremfya was being used. This may have increased results. Results may vary.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available. Tremfya.